Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Amen. My dear friends, Bud Fitzgerald is one of my Sunday school teachers in my youth. I'll never forget that man. He was a big, burly redhead, huge hand. Things that I remember most about him, first of all, he was a very faithful man. He used to bring his kids to church every Sunday without fail. He was a mailman, and every once in a while you would see him around town dressed up in his uniform, you know, delivering the mail. But the thing that always impressed me the most was that in all of the years that I knew him, he always wore the same suit, the same white shirt, and the same tie to church. And he said once to us, and he was explaining this to us, he said, you know, when I go to work, I wear my uniform, the uniform of the United States Postal Service. It's the best that I have for that job. And when I come to church, I wear the very best clothes that I have for my Lord. And he talked about the idea that You're stepping into the throne room of the Almighty God, and therefore you should wear your best. We used to call it, I guess, our Sunday best. I remember wearing a suit and tie even as a little boy. Maybe some of you remember that. And women and girls usually wore dresses. And then we were told that it really doesn't matter what you wear when you come to church, because the Lord is really concerned just about what's going on the inside. And that is very true. The Lord is looking for the heart, isn't he? But I suppose it might be some kind of fun sometime to talk about the value of wearing your Sunday best, or the best that you have, because you want to always and only give your Lord the very best. Christians in the city of Colossae were challenged by false teachers about what to wear. The pastor of the congregation was named Epaphras, and he had taught them about the clothes of Jesus' righteousness, his perfection, and his forgiveness. But the false teachers were telling the people that what Jesus gave them wasn't quite good enough. So Paul, at the urging of Epaphras, wrote a letter to steer the congregation back to the great and glorious Savior, and to see that all they needed for their salvation and for their life, they could find in him and him alone. And today we talk about Christmas clothes, that even Jesus gives clothes as Christmas gifts. What he gives us is the very best, our Sunday best, our daily best clothes. And it has to do with what's on the inside and then what comes out from the inside. How blessed we are to be wearing these clothes, and how important it is to model these clothes. The Old Testament prophet Ezekiel gives a very graphic and descriptive picture of how God found his children of Israel. He talked about them as an abandoned child. He talked about them as being covered in blood and drying out. And he came running to them, and he picked them up, and he cleaned them up, and he took good care of them. And it's really a wonderful picture of the way that God has taken care of us. And most importantly, he not only cleaned us, but he clothed us as well. In our call to faith, and for many of that, or baptism, God put a new set of clothes on us. So I suppose you could say a uniform. It's called Jesus' rightness. It's not enough that Jesus took off the dirty clothes of our sin and shame, but by his death and resurrection, he outfitted us in holiness and perfection. It's not enough, you see, that the Father sees us without sin, but he needs to see us also tailored and fitted in perfection. And that's the Sunday clothes, or we might say now the Christmas clothes, that Jesus gives us. That makes us worthy of entering heaven. And he chose to do this, he said, before time began. He says, as God's elect, holy and loved. He chose to do it by laying out the pattern of our clothes to match perfectly Jesus, who is everything, who is all in all to us. And that's why, having been chosen, we are also called holy and dearly loved. But reach into the pocket of this perfectly fitted uniform, and you'll find all sorts of marvelous accessories to your outfit. Heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, a forgiving spirit, and love, which covers all of these other virtues. They are all accessories that Jesus is, and that he demonstrated in his own life when he came to this world for us. The Bible says he had compassion on the crowds because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And his compassion reached out, his stomach churned with pity on those that he saw that were filled with physical ailments and whose hearts were burdened by their sins and the longing to be right with God. He was filled with kindness. His compassion reached out and actually did things for them. He provided healing. He provided help. Remember how his disciples were so scared on the Sea of Galilee when the storm came up. And in kindness, he just told the wind and the wave to be quiet and be still. He was filled with gentleness. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on you, for my yoke is easy and your burden is light. And he was filled with patience, wasn't he? To his disciples, who thought they were seeing a ghost and not the resurrected Savior. And so he came to them and he said, touch me, shake my hands, put your arms around me, give me the kiss of peace. He never gave up on them, like he never gives up on us. He is full of patience. But you see, now he says, clothe yourselves. Those of us who have put off the old and put on the new, as Paul said in a few verses previous to our text. He says, you do the same. Clothe yourself with that heartfelt compassion. Can it be done? Think of Joseph, who had nothing but love toward his brothers who tried to kill him, who sold him into slavery. So ours can be a heart of compassion too, to those who we see that are in need. Clothe yourself with kindness, kindness that flows from compassion. As the Samaritan showed kindness to the man who was bloodied and beaten on the road to Jericho. Clothe yourself with humility. It's certainly what the tax collector did, didn't he, when he stood in the back of the temple and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Isn't that where humility always begins? In understanding our relationship with God, that we don't deserve anything, but God gives us everything out of his grace. Clothe yourself with patience. Rabbi Zacharias, a sainted Christian apologist, tells a story about a man named Dr. Lee. Dr. Lee was a good Christian man, and he went to a lecture given by a Muslim apologist. And he spent that lecture making fun of Christianity. And during the question and answer session, Dr. Lee got up and just asked him, "Why are you so harsh towards Christianity?" And the man said, "Why don't you come up to the stage, please?" And so Dr. Lee went up onto the stage, and the Muslim lecturer slapped him in the face. And then he said, "According to your religion, you're supposed to turn the other cheek." And so Dr. Lee did. And he slapped him as hard as he could across that cheek. And then he said, "According to your religion, you should give me the shirt off of your back." And so Dr. Lee took his shirt off and handed it to him. And then he said, "According to your religion, you'll give me the pants that you're wearing." And Dr. Lee said, "Christ means so much to me." He took off his pants in front of everybody and handed him to the man and walked off the stage. The man so much wanted him to lose patience, and he never did. Would you like to have people say of you, "There goes a Christian"? Then focus on the clothes that Jesus gives you by his grace, totally unearned, undeserved. And when the question is asked, "What did you get for Christmas?" tell them that Jesus gave you the one thing needed, the clothes of righteousness, the clothes of perfection, the Sunday, the everyday best. What Paul wanted the Christians to know was that they had the holy opportunity and the privilege to model their clothes for one another, but also for the unbelievers around them. And he wanted them to do this, not to show off, but to show that Christ really does make a difference in their lives. So he offers them some ways to model the clothes of their heart, the clothes that are taken captive by the love of Christ. He says, "Bear with one another and forgive each other if anyone has a complaint against anyone else. Forgive just as Christ forgave you. In addition to all these things, put on love, which ties things together in perfect unity." You know, could it be that the people that are closest to us are the ones that we so often and easily find getting on our nerves? Could it be that the devil and our sinful nature try to control our lives in such a way that we want to get angry and hold grudges and find fault with each other, and especially with those who are closest to us? I remember a pastor telling me once that he made a call on a member of his new congregation, a person who hadn't been in church in over 20 years, and he asked her why she hadn't been back, and she said, well, the pastor didn't say hello to me when I walked through the line the last time I went to church, and I decided I'd never go back to that church again. And he said, did a little more digging and found out that pastor had died 15 years earlier. What an impact that you can have when you show patience and a forgiving attitude. And more than that, what a relief to your own heart when you don't let hurt feelings and anger fester in your soul and let those feelings eat away at you. What an impact you have on your fellow Christians when you show them the same forgiving love that Jesus has shown you, and it starts in the home, doesn't it? And it works its way from there. And then he said, "Let the peace of Christ control your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual hearts with gratitude in your hearts to God. Can it happen that our children get the idea that a church is a burden when they see us wear one set of clothes on a Sunday morning and then we put on another set of clothes when we get home? Can it be that they see that the Bible is a word but not a book to be read? That they never see prayers modeled? Let the peace of Christ control your hearts, Paul says. And there's a remedy to all of the sins that come running through our mind at a time like this. It's called humility. It's called calling on the Lord to help us get our priorities straight. It's called letting the Word of God take control of our hearts and our lives. What an impact when parents read the Word and sing the wonders of God's goodness. What an impact neighbors see that the clothes of Jesus that you wear make a difference when you walk out a door on Sunday morning, or when you show kindness and goodness in so many different ways. What an impact when you teach and admonish each other in all wisdom, building each other up rather than tearing each other down. And in everything that you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through him. Just how far does that attitude of gratitude go? How much does it help us from taking everything for granted? Time and the time we have to build relationship with one another, the opportunities we have to care about the well-being of people with whom we interact on a daily basis. What an impact we have when we are thankful for the clothes that Jesus gives us at Christmas time, the best. A few moments ago, I told you about Dr. Lee, who was assaulted and persecuted by that Muslim apologist. The ending of that story is that after he left the stage, hundreds of young people, mostly Muslim, followed him, said, "We'd like to know about this Jesus that you were talking about." The Colossian Christians were wearing the clothes of Christ, and Paul said that their reputation was known around the whole Roman Empire. They wore their Sunday best. They wore their Christmas best. Undeserved and unearned. But they did it out of gratefulness and thankfulness. I don't know how you feel about clothes at Christmas time. I think it goes different directions at different times of our life. But it's funny to know that even Jesus gives clothes as Christmas gifts, right? The clothes that he gives us, they fit perfectly. And it's wonderful to know that we don't do anything to earn them. But because he has allowed us to wear them, we have some awesome opportunities to model them. And in doing so, we model the love of Jesus, his forgiveness, his compassion, his kindness, his caring for those around us. Make that your wonderful uniform that you are proud and thankful to wear every day. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.